am not ashamed of the gospel. The word gospel means good news, and it's good news about salvation through Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. And this message, and this message alone, is God's power that can bring salvation to everyone who believes the message, first to the Jewish people, and then to everybody else. Well, shalom. This is Rabbi Lauren coming to you live via Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with another edition of Jesus Made Me Kosher. And my guest today is an old friend of mine, Roy Schwartz, who's been involved in Messianic Jewish ministry since 1975. Roy graduated from Moody Bible Institute, the same school that I did. In fact, Roy and I were buddies back in our Moody days, where Roy received his diploma in Jewish studies. And Roy has worked on the college campus. He's led home Bible studies. He's overseen the planting of three Messianic congregations with Chosen People Ministries, one of the very oldest ministries to the Jewish people in the United States. And now Roy is seeking to begin a fourth Messianic congregation, this one in the Chicago area, I guess in downtown Chicago. And currently there are no Messianic congregations in the city of Chicago, which has a huge Jewish population. So Roy, welcome to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Well, thank you, Lauren. Good to be with you.
And good to be with you. Roy, let's start off with your story. How did the three-in-one God, the God of Israel, reveal himself to a nice Jewish man like you? How did God make you aware that Yeshua is the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world? How has Jesus made you kosher?
Well, I was traveling cross-country in 1971. I happened to have be in school at the time. I wanted to become a lawyer, and I took off on summer break to travel cross country, and got to a small town in Wisconsin, La Crosse, Wisconsin, and there I met some Jesus people, and they started telling me I needed Jesus. I thought I needed a lot of things, but that was not one of them. And so I argued with them. You know, we Jews love to fight. We love to argue. It's often been said you get two Jews together, you have three opinions. And so I was giving them all my opinions at once. And the more I argued, the more they, you know, would show me in the Bible where this was so and this was so. And finally, I couldn't come up with any arguments about this because I really didn't know the Bible at all. And I finally said, you know, I'm Jewish. And that was my ace in the hole. That usually would end a discussion. And they said, you're Jewish. Well, praise God. Our Messiah is Jewish. Our Bible's Jewish. If it weren't for the Jewish people, we wouldn't have a Bible or a Messiah. And then they began sharing about the Old Testament. And here were Gentiles who knew more about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob than I did. And I thought to myself, what are these Gentiles doing with my God? And they told me to ask the God of Israel if Jesus wasn't my Messiah. So I kind of muttered something under my breath as I was walking out the door, happy to be rid of that conversation, not thinking anything would ever happen. And things started happening, and God began working on my heart. And about 4 months after that encounter, through a number of other encounters that they had, I came to realize that Jesus really was our Messiah, and that Christianity was, of all things, Jewish. And with that, I was born again. I was a new person, and felt compelled to share with my kinsmen, other Jews, of what I discovered, that, you know, the greatest gift that God had ever given to us was Yeshua, the Messiah, and began sharing him with other people. And about 5 years after that, God called me into ministry, and that's what I've been doing.
Roy, what was the impact? What was the cost that you had to pay for that decision to follow Yeshua, Jesus, as your Lord and your Savior and your Messiah? What was the cost, if anything, that you had to pay, and was it worth it?
Well, initially, there was no cost initially. I mean, it was just, you know, a free gift, and I had life and abundancy. But then as I began sharing it with my fraternity brothers in college and some of the other people I was going to school with, it cost me their friendship. They wanted nothing to do with me. They thought I was a pariah, that I had joined the other side, that I was crazy, or that I was you know, just not Jewish anymore. I thought, you know, I had just become lost to them. And so that was the first thing that I lost. And then, my family, my family was very, 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 very liberal. One of my uncles was Richard Nixon's psychiatrist. So they thought I was crazy, but they figured that this was just a phase he was going through. But when they saw my life change and the person they knew as a young person who was, into this and into that, when they saw stability come into my life, well, they began to change their tune. And so, yes, I lost my friends. Yes, for a season, I lost a lot of credibility within my family. But over time, I gained my whole life.
Roy, do you feel more or less Jewish now that you are a Messianic Jew? I mean, you're a Christian. You're a follower of the Messiah. You're a follower of the Christ. You're a follower of the Messiah. But do you feel more or less Jewish as a Messianic Jewish believer?
Well, I feel much more Jewish. I feel like I've come to the God of Israel. And, whereas before I could care less about the things of God and about Scripture, now I love God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I love His Word. I read the Torah. I read the prophets. I read the writings. And as I've come to study the New Covenant, I love the New Covenant and realize the unity and actually that the New Covenant was promised in the Scriptures by the prophet Jeremiah. And so, no, Lauren, I feel more Jewish now than I've ever felt. And I'm able to share that with other Jews as I lead Bible studies and congregations and have seen, scores of Jewish people come to faith and come to the joy that I've discovered in Him.
So you have more peace, a greater sense of well-being. You have a sense that, you're close to God and God's close to you. You believe you're going to live forever, right?
I do. Well, if not physically live forever, one of these days my heart will attack me or some such thing. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's always been the hope of Israel that there was life after death, that when the Messiah comes, we would have life everlasting. And the only thing is now I have a foretaste of that with the Ruach, the Spirit of God, living in my heart. And so I have that peace, knowing that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, that my spirit will immediately leave this body and be in the presence of God. And I have that down payment by His Spirit living in me now.
Roy, what would you say to a Jewish person who may be listening to us on Jesus Made Me Kosher and is questioning whether Jesus may or may not be the Messiah? Maybe he thinks that Jesus might be the Messiah, but he knows that there is going to be a price to pay within the Jewish community, rejection, misunderstanding. What would you say to a Jewish person who's listening?
Well, I would say, what does it gain? What does it profit you to gain the whole world, the friendship of the world, the wealth of the world, the power of the world, and yet lose your soul? You could have the things of this world, but you won't have the things of God. You can't have both unless you put God first. And God, the God of Israel, has told us that we must have atonement for our sin. We must have a covering for our sin. And when the temple stood among our people, we could go to the temple and offer a sacrifice. But today, God's sacrifice is Yeshua, the Messiah. And this was foretold by the prophet Isaiah and other scriptures as well. Other Old Testament prophecies, other prophecies in the scriptures were placed there that would help us to know that we need atonement and that atonement would be provided once and for all in the Messiah. Even the rabbis speak of that. All the law and the prophets were nothing but for the days of Messiah. And probably one of the most powerful statements found in among the prophets is in the prophet Isaiah 53. And if any Jewish person would read that, they would see that Yeshua, Jesus, is our atonement. In fact, if anyone who's Jewish listening to this broadcast would contact you or me, I'd be happy to send him a book about Isaiah 53 and how this book and this chapter 53 of Isaiah 53, could change their lives. And well, I'd be happy to send it. It's a $14 book. I'll send it to you for free.
You know, that was written by our friend Mitch Glazer, who is the leader of Chosen People Ministries. I think we should talk about that more in a second and make that offer again. But what would you say to a Christian who is listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher and may have a Jewish friend or coworker or neighbor or family member? And, you know, they've heard that Jewish people don't believe in Jesus, and, you know, they're a little bit intimidated to share the good news with their Jewish friend or neighbor or coworker. What would you say to a Christian who's listening, who has a Jewish friend like that?
I would say this. You know, Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except through me. Or rather, no man comes to the Son unless the Father draws them. Now, most Jewish people do not know the Father. And so, as Jews, we need to bring the Father to Jewish people. We need to help them realize that the God of Israel has revealed himself in Yeshua. But most Jews don't know the God of Israel. And so, as a result of not knowing the Father, they're not drawn to the Son. And so, I would say to your to the average Christian who's listening, that as you help Jewish people understand the older covenant, their scriptures, as you help them understand about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and understand the Jewish holidays and just talk about that, because the assumption most Christians make is that we know everything about the Old Testament, that we are observant as Jews, and we're not. And what brought me to faith was when Christians knew more about the Jewish things than I did. And that caused me to study. That caused me to look. And the more I looked, the more I fell in love with the God of Israel. The more I fell in love with the God of Israel, the more open I was to the possibility that Jesus had something to do with the God of Israel.
So you would tell Christians to be bold, be courageous, summon some chutzpah, and tell their Jewish friend about this wonderful Jewish carpenter turned rabbi, Yeshua, Jesus, and that believing in Jesus is really a kosher thing to do.
Yes, I would do that, but Lauren, I would stress that they should share also the older covenant, that they should ask him questions. What does Passover mean to you? What does Yom Kippur mean to you? And then share how you as a Christian understand Yom Kippur, how you as a Christian understand Passover, and find points of commonality so that Jewish person, in considering Jesus, realizes he's not converting to something alien, but something that's very, very Jewish.
Jesus is the King of the Jews, and when a Jewish person encounters the King of the Jews and believes in him, it's the most Jewish thing that any Jewish person can do.
Exactly. Absolutely right, Lauren.
Roy, tell us a little bit about Chosen People Ministries that you work for, you represent. It's, I think, maybe the oldest ministry to the Jewish people here in the United States. Give us a little bit of background about CPM, Chosen People Ministries.
Well, it began in 1894 when a rabbi had come to faith in the Messiah. He was reading in the Talmud a tractate that was talking about the days that were to come. And in it, he came to Daniel chapter 9, which spoke of the timing of the Messiah. And in that chapter, it says that the Messiah would come and then the temple would be destroyed. And so he knew that the temple had been destroyed, but he didn't know where the Messiah was. And so as he read and studied, he realized that Messiah must have come. And he began pestering some of his colleagues, his other rabbis. And they would, you know, just give him the traditional party line and argument. But clearly it was not what he was looking for, because what he studied was the Messiah must have come. And so they finally told him, listen, what you're talking about, you'll probably find in America. And so he left Hungary, where he was from, came to America, and given a congregation of Hungarian-speaking Jews in Brooklyn, and came across a person who gave him a prophecy edition New Testament, a New Testament that was in Hebrew and that pointed from the New Testament all the scriptures in the Old Testament. And through that, he came to faith in Yeshua. And began the American Border Missions to the Jews, which became Chosen People Ministries, which is the organization that I work for today.
And it's more than 100 years old at this point.
Right, 117 years old and going strong. We've done everything in way of ministry. We do campus work. We do congregational planting. We have ministries in Israel, in South America, in 16 different countries around the world, including, of course, the United States and Canada. We have tremendous work in New York. We are starting we have a seminary that's part of Talbot Theological Seminary for Jewish Studies in Brooklyn, and just ongoing ministries that are preparing men and women for the work and leading Jewish and Gentile people to the Messiah.
Roy, I believe that God's people, there's more and more Christian people that want to bless the Jewish people, that want to help, you know, Israel, but they're giving their money to ministry, I shouldn't even use the word ministry, organizations like Orthodox Rabbi Yechiel Eckstein and his International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Did you know that that organization took in, I think, more than $100 million last year, Roy?
I think that may be more than I know they took in a lot of money. I don't think they've taken in that much money. But
oh, I know. No, right. I know that they have.
Really?
I know for sure. It's that's more than 100 million.
Wow. Well, I do know that they do not bring the gospel to Jewish people. In fact, they are enemies of us who bring the gospel to Jewish people. But the majority of that money, I'd say 99% of that money, comes from Christians who think they're blessing the Jewish people. And God bless them for trying to bless the Jewish people. But if you don't give our people the gospel, the good news that Jesus is the Messiah, you're not blessing our people. You're blessing them maybe materially, but you're not blessing them eternally.
Exactly. And our greatest need is to know that Yeshua is our Jewish Messiah and that a Jewish person can believe in the King of the Jews and still be Jewish. That's our greatest need. And so, you know, so many Christians are naively giving money to, Orthodox Rabbi Eckstein, who is against Messianics like you and I, and giving to the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, which is against the gospel. They're giving to John Hagee and his Christians United for Israel, which also does not meet our greatest need, which is to hear the good news. Wouldn't you agree that God's people should be giving their money to support good ministries like Chosen People Ministries?
Well, I would. Any organization that brings the gospel to the Jewish people is a ministry worthy of support. But if they are only helping them with food and clothing,
transportation,
As good as that is, it's not giving them the gospel. And your organization, Chosen People, and other missionary organizations are not only feeding the Jewish people and providing housing, as our work is in Israel and in Russia and so on, but we're also giving them the gospel. We're giving them the food that lasts for eternity.
Exactly. Roy, how could God's people who might be listening to this show, how can they support you and Chosen People Ministries and maybe redirect their finances in a much more productive way?
Well, they can go onto our website at chosenpeople.com and they can gain some information there. They can designate the support toward my missionary activity, toward Roy Schwartz, or just give to the general fund as the Lord leads them. But you will find, as you go to chosenpeople.com, that our organization is doing the very things that you feel Eckstein is doing, but we're doing it in the name of Jesus. And so that's how they can do it, chosenpeople.com.
You mentioned that you had some copies of Mitch Glazer's new book, which is on Isaiah 53, which would be great to give to a Jewish person. How can someone get a free copy of that, which you mentioned?
They can write to me. They can email me at Roy at R Schwartz, and it's hard spelling, S-C-H-W-A-R-C, as in Charles, Z, at chosenpeople.com, and I will send them a copy.
That is really generous. And Mitch is, you know, a real scholar, so I'm sure that I have a copy, but I haven't read it yet, but I'm sure it's good. So give us the email address again.
It's R. Schwartz, S-C-H-W-A-R-C-Z, at chosenpeople.com. Or you can go directly to chosenpeople.com, and there's our website.
And you're giving away free
Isaiah?
They
have to write to me. They have to direct to me, to Roy Schwartz or R. Schwartz, to get the book. R. Schwartz at chosenpeople.com, and then I'll send them the book.
Okay. Roy, you're going to be our guest speaker on Saturday, this Shabbat, in just a couple days. You are. And we're really looking forward to having
there.
You. I'm really looking forward to having you. What are you going to be speaking on this Shabbat?
I'm going to be talking about what it means to be a bond slave of the Lord. Paul wrote about us being bond slaves, and our Parsha, the portion of Scripture that all the Jewish people are going to be reading this Shabbat, has to do with what a bond slave is. And I'm going to talk about bond slavery and slavery. How could God ordain slavery? What has that got to do with us? How could free people be allowed to be enslaved? And so I'm going to be talking about God's slavery. And the reality is every true believer is to be a willing bond slave. That's what I'm going to be talking about. That's the Parsha. And I'm going to talk about what it means to us who are Jews and what it is to those who are Christians in Messiah.
Okay. And I want to invite the Christian community to visit Congregation Shema Yisrael. We meet Saturday mornings at 10:30 at the facilities of Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church in Bloomfield Hills, right on Telegraph. And Roy will be giving, a very good message from the Word of God on serving God, being what it means to be a slave, a servant of God Almighty. And Roy, that's really great, and I look forward to seeing you on Shabbat, and thank you for being my guest today on Jesus Made Me Kosher. Let's do this again sometime.
I couldn't be more happy to do it, Lauren. Great to be with you and your people who listen to your program. I hope they will support you, and I hope those that are listening will come on Saturday to join us at your congregation.
Thank you, Roy. Shalom. And I just want to make an announcement about something that's going to happen tomorrow. The Michigan Faith and Freedom Coalition, they're having a Road to Victory rally tomorrow featuring Senator Rick Santorum. He's going to be the featured speaker. But I've also been asked to bring a short little message or speech tomorrow also to the Michigan Faith and Freedom Coalition, I believe after Senator Santorum. And that is Friday, February 17th, tomorrow, at the Palazzo Grande Banquet and Events Center. It's on Van Dyke Avenue, just south of 25 Mile Road in Shelby Township. The doors open at 10:30, and the rally begins at 11:15. And I think it'll probably be over by about 12:30, 12:45. So, again, if you are interested in attending an interesting political event tomorrow, sponsored by the Michigan Faith and Freedom Coalition, featuring Senator Rick Santorum, doors open at 10:30. The rally begins at 11:15 at the Palazzo Grande Banquet and Event Center on Van Dyke in Shelby Township. And I hope to see you there. And I'm planning on giving a little bit of what I'm going to be talking about tomorrow on tomorrow's show on Jesus Made Me Kosher. And don't forget, if you're a pastor, we'd like to invite you to a lunch for pastors that's coming up in February, I believe, 28th, Tuesday. Special lunch for pastors at the Regency Manor in Southfield. Lunch is free. We're going to be talking about Jewish ministry. David Brickner, the director of Jews for Jesus, will be there, as well as myself. So call the office, 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. And be our guest for this lunch. Shalom, shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can join us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.